KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents The On-Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
And a good snowy Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to The On-Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Ron Thomas.
Good morning, Aaron.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Snow, not that big of an issue. We picked up, what, about 4 inches here, it looks like, at the studios. Now we're just going to have to deal with some bone-chilling cold here today
and a little bit of wind.
So we're going to have wind chills about minus 5 tonight, and then we'll brace ourselves for another 1 to 2 inches Saturday or this weekend.
It's fine, as long as it's just snow and no ice.
Yeah. Things, as far as getting the streets and roads cleared, shouldn't be that big of a problem, I wouldn't think.
Well, unfortunately, on Saturday, we lost our leader, Steve Souter.
Yes, we did, yeah.
We thought we would put together a tribute show today and talk about all the good memories. So let's get right to it. We got two gentlemen on the air right now. Kent Weiser, good morning, Kent.
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
How are you?
Good morning, Ron.
Hi, Kent. How are you doing today?
Doing fine, thank you.
And Kent and Steve go way, way back. And Kent was responsible for Steve knowing our next guest, David Freddie Moe. Good morning, Freddie.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
How you doing? It's quite an honor. I'm with three legends, talking about a legend.
There we go. So Freddie, let's start with you, buddy. Give us... We have other guests coming on as well. We knew you could fill the whole hour.
Yeah, let's just, of course, this is Coach Mo, Emporia State head men's basketball coach. So what? When were you coach here, Coach?
Say that again, Ron. I'm sorry.
What years were you coaching?
Oh, I think 2000 to 2010, yeah. Somewhere in that range. That's not exactly right, but that's close enough.
Well, obviously,
great experience. Steve was a big influence on my life. All you guys were, really. I mean, without a doubt. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about your relationship with Steve, Coach Mo. I know that Steve likes to get to know the student athletes and has done a lot for Emporia State Athletics. Your thoughts on Steve and what he meant, I guess, to you and to Emporia State.
Well, he was obviously huge to me and our program, but every athletic program and the department, the city, everywhere involved. And I had saved, I don't know if it's fully appropriate, but I had, there's a memory that I have of him that, still comes up 15 years later. I mean, I still think about it because it was one of my most embarrassing moments in coaching. Can't remember. Most of you guys probably remember. Can I tell a story or do we not have time for that?
Go ahead,
go
Coach. Please do.
Classic Steve Souter. Before he was doing the radio game, before he was the broadcaster, he was a fan, and it was my second or third year coaching. We were in Central Missouri and had a good team, and we're winning, and then the referees, which I felt like they were not giving us a fair whistle, and I'm on them, and it was at Central Missouri, and it's quiet, but there's a big guy shooting a free throw. He's been in the lane camping out, and, every time he caught it, we would just foul him and send him to the line, and it was quiet, and I hear I'm yelling, probably talking to the ref because it was quiet, and I hear Steve in the background. He's like four rows behind me, and it's dead quiet, and he goes, "Get the Vaseline out, Freddie." And I say to myself, I said, he didn't just say that right there. I said, but I didn't. I wasn't one to have rabbit ears either, but it was quiet, and he's 15 feet from me. So I sit down, game goes on, it moves on a little bit, and I'm hot as it is. And then it happens again, another foul, another free throw. This time I'm just sitting down, and he's no more than 10 feet behind me. He's got a loud voice. "Get the Vaseline out, Freddie!" Like I didn't hear it the first time. So now I'm saying, well, I mean, Steve knows we're getting screwed. I got a free reign. I got to do something. I can't just sit here and take it. So I'm all gassed up. And then the next thing you know, We get their guys in the lane again, 3 seconds. We come down, get a stop, fast break, throw it to one of my guys. He hits a backdoor pass, and we get a layup, and they call 3 seconds on us.
Oh, so.
And, you know, the little crowd right behind us. And I went crazy. I end up getting thrown out. I get escorted off the court. I think it was kicked the trash can, got suspended. The whole gamut, and it was, I don't think it ever would have happened had I not heard get the Vaseline out, Freddy, from Steve, and I had his kind of go-ahead to act like an idiot. I blame him for that. He might be, he and I have had, I don't tell that story. I think about it quite a bit, but I don't, only he and I have talked about that in the past.
But now, you know, he would have had your back with Weiser.
Yeah. Well, I knew that at the time, yeah, because he was in, he was right in my corner. He was a cheerleader, and it was just so quiet. The guy was shooting probably a second free throw, and you know how on the, you know, the home team gets quiet, and just everybody in the stadium heard him do that. But what a great guy and a great friend to me, great friend of my family, and obviously the city and university and everything. I'm sure there'll just be, you know, many positive things coming out today, but it was a pleasure for me to know him and his family.
Yeah, we appreciate you calling in, Kent. I know you and Steve were very, very close as well.
We were. Yep.
Go ahead and give us a story or two, Betty.
Well, he, it's not, Steve was wasn't afraid to share his opinion, like the story that David just told there. He, he was in a game like he was playing in it. And it wasn't, because he was selfish and wanted to play. He wanted the Hornets to do well. And that's how he, that's how he, whatever he could do. And I'll tell a quick one. Again, it's about a basketball coach, but not David. When Craig Doty was hired to come in, and there was some outage or something at Wolf Creek, and so there was not a hotel room to be found. And we called all over the place and trying to get him in. And so, I pulled a string and called Steve and said, he had, I don't know if it was the Candlewood at that time or Mainstay, he said, man, there is not one. But how about he stay at my house? How about him and his family stay with me and Bobby? And I just thought, that shows he's, he's going to do anything he can to help the Hornets. And he never did it. I will tell you this. He never did it to buy influence. You just always knew his heart was in the right place. And sometimes we would agree. I sought his counsel so often. And one of the few outside of the athletics department and outside the president that I would seek their counsel when decisions were to be made or something needed to happen with the athletics department. And we didn't always agree, but I knew that he would still be for us. And so even if we didn't do what he suggested, he still wanted us, did everything he could. Okay, how can, so where do we go from here? How can I help from here? And you just don't find that very often with people that, as brilliant of a businessman as he was, and he just had a great deal of passion for ESU and athletics. Like Coach Mo said, and it was with all the sports. I mean, it wasn't just KVOE, we started doing softball games. And I got a great story about David Mo sometime when he was on the PA.
I've made a fool of myself enough.
No, that was great fun. That was, we broadcast, we were the first MIA school, maybe Division II school, to broadcast softball and volleyball. And he wanted that to happen. He wanted every student athlete, every coach to have, the best opportunity they could have. And that just always, that just always sits with me that your guy could be that gracious and humble. He wasn't quiet. I mean, like I said, he'd let you know, like David said, he'd let you know what he thought, but you just always knew he had your back. And boy, that's a you know, that's a great luxury to have when you have somebody like that on your side.
Yeah, he was
well said.
Yeah, he was.
Thank you, David.
He was a great broadcaster here for us, and I truly mean that. I mean, he was a natural. I mean, once he had owned the station for a couple of years and had some ideas, and he had a lot of ideas, and it was all to benefit a program or something going on local here. But he spent many hours in vehicles traveling, following Emporia State, and not only doing Emporia State basketball, the Lady Hornet basketball, but as Kent mentioned, he followed that softball team to the Nationals, and we had some great broadcasts.
Baseball team to carry.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, Ken, I'll piggyback a little on your Craig Doty comments, and I remember he stayed there, and I think the Glassblown Open was going on at the time, and
Craig had
came up, and he'd brought Braylon with him, and Steve introduced him, because Braylon and my son are the same age, and then Craig left and came in on Monday, and Steve go, what'd you think about Coach Doty? And I said, he is a great talker. He's either going to be a great coach, or he's a great BSer, and Steve goes, I think he's going to be both.
Very true. Very, very true. And that, and one last thing, you guys, I know I don't want to take up too much, but you know, the Souder Scholars program.
Yeah.
And of course his dad started that, but I'll tell you, and I don't know if it's okay. I mean, Earl put in seven figures to that thing, and Steve saw it. And after Earl passed away, Steve doubled it. And he said, I want to spread this around to all programs and make sure everybody, you know, every coach, every student athlete has a chance. And he loved those handwritten thank you notes that student athletes would send to him. And, I mean, he would read every one of them. And then that just, I know that that just meant so much to him to know that he was kind of planting seeds, if you will, for the future. You know, he wasn't going to see, these student athletes are be able to follow all of them as they graduated and as they grew older, but he knew that he was doing something for the future, and that's just the best thing I can say about somebody.
Yeah, a legacy up at the foundation with the Souder Scholars. Hey, fellas, we got more people calling. We got to take a break. Appreciate you both calling. Thanks, Kent.
All right, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Right, yep. Thank
Coach
Mo,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay.
Good to hear from you. Great story.
Yeah.
Great story. And I wish we would have a little more time. We could have followed up with Coach Mo, because I still remember hearing about that game, and I didn't know about this part specifically, but wasn't he trying to get a view from outside through a window somewhere?
I think I remember that. He got escorted out of the stadium, but was still trying to watch the end of the game because it was a tight game. A fantastic story. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, be joined by some more gentlemen. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at kvoe.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live, win free pizza and local.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. We're joined by Coach Freddie Moe and Kent Weiser from ESU Athletics earlier. Now we're going to move to the telecommunication world and Tom Maines. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Yourself?
Doing good.
Well, hey, thanks for giving us a couple minutes here this morning. Appreciate that, Tom.
No, no problem.
Well, hey, you go back with Steve. Let's see. Would that be with Value Line?
Yeah, that would be 1986 is when I started with Steve.
Same year I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all came on board, a lot of us did at the same time.
Yeah, you can. We have a fantasy football plaque up here that goes back about that far, Maines.
Yeah, we did. That was some good times back then.
That was almost before the fax machine, really.
Well, I can remember Russ Hammond and I having to look up stats in the USA Today.
Yeah.
To determine the winners. Tim tells stories about that all the time. You'll be happy to know Tim won the league this year. I think he's now 4-12 all time in the finals. But he tells the story of, well, we didn't know what was going on. That was, we were happy to get to work on Monday because we could figure out who won that week.
Yeah, but that was back in the rough old days of fantasy football. I think Steve kind of gave you the option to join with a real strong hint you need to.
I got a bunch of those over the years.
Yeah, I think we've all been dealt that hand with Steve before. So what are your recollections? How did you get started with Value Line?
Well, actually, it was through Rick Tidwell. He worked as a firefighter with my dad, is how I got to know Rick. And Rick asked me several times to come to work for Value Line at that time. And I was like, I'm not doing anything that Tidwell's involved in. But things changed, and I eventually talked to him and got started. And the really funny thing is, me and Rick and Stormy shared an office. We were in the little apartment, the center apartment, a village apartment, so it was tiny. And if Steve wanted us, he'd just come to that one office, and we're all three packed in there. And he and Rick would get into some knockdown dragouts. And the funniest thing is they would just be going at it. Stormy and I'd get up and leave because we didn't want to sit there and listen to it. But those two would be, you know, just yelling at each other. And then at noon, they'd stop and say, you want to go to lunch? And off they'd go. They had that, I don't know how they had that on-off switch, but they did.
Those two figured a lot of things out in those squabbles.
They did.
They did. And that was back in the day when they could get together. We'd have a problem come up, you know, a big business issue. They'd get into the office, talk about it in 5 minutes, and we'd have it solved. A different world today.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know, some of the lessons I got from Steve, which are really good lessons. The first one is, if you bring a problem, you better bring me a solution too. Otherwise, you're just bitching about things.
Yeah.
And I've carried that on. And if you took a solution and it wasn't well thought out or a good one, he would tell you about it. As you know, Coach Mo and Kent were saying, he was a pretty opinionated individual, and I think everyone knew that. But he was also probably one of the best bosses I've ever had in my life. He backed you as an employee 100%. You guys know that. You know, and the family stuff was really important to him. He got to know your family. He knew your kids' names. You know, he knew what they were involved in. You know, my son got involved with him in the Hustle Double Camps. And then I got involved. Lee Firestone and I used to go down and run the score booth for the Optimist baseball tournaments. I think it was around 10-year-old, 10U players. And the good thing about that is, you know, if you did that, you got a paid day off to go watch baseball. You know, what's better than that?
There aren't very many things better. Well, I had quite a few paid days off to go golf with them, so that might be a little bit better. But the family aspect was very important, and none of us can thank them enough for that.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. That's something that I hope doesn't go unnoticed. is the fact that he wanted to make sure that if you had kids, there were inactivities or kids with medical issues, whatever, you were basically expected to be there and help them out. So yeah, he wanted to make sure that we were a family oriented business, not only here but Value Line and ValueNet itself. So yeah, much thanks for that.
He actually took credit for my wife and I getting married. Quick little story here. Well,
that's a big story, Tom.
Well, I was going to the Christmas party, and at that time I was single, didn't have a date, but I got a date at the last minute, and I didn't tell the girls because, the girls that were in the office always set up everything for the Christmas party. They made name tags and all this, and I didn't get it to them early enough. So I think I asked Carol like the day before, and we go to the Christmas party. And Steve walks up and introduces himself, because he did walk in and get to know everybody. And he was telling us, he said, well, I didn't have your name, so it's not on a name tag or anything. So he just wrote on it, Mrs. Mames. kind of took a little leap there. That was our first date. So he puts that name tag there. And just kind of smirks and walks off, and Carol and I end up getting married, and I heard from him several times that he was the one responsible for us getting married.
He knew, Tom, if she was willing to go on that party for the first date, that she was a keeper.
Yeah.
She was special, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Great story.
But, the other thing was I just remember all the trips we took, the sports trips. And, Ron, I'm sure you remember these, the company bus trips to the Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah.
And ESU games. They got maybe a little wild on the bus and a little out of hand, but they were always a good time. And that's what Steve wanted. He wanted that, those extracurricular activities, get everyone together and let's go do something.
Yeah.
The fall flings up at the country club and that kind of stuff. And, again, it just reiterates the – he wanted families there having a good time.
Yeah, it was all about families, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were fun times.
Tom,
yes, they were.
Probably once Value Line sold and there was a little downtime before those four got back together and started ValueNet, probably was a pretty easy decision to come to ValueNet.
Yeah, it really was. I was, at that time, Stutler was just closing down. And I was going to get out of technology completely, but Rick did come and talk to me and offered me a job as a sales manager. And I'd always been on the technical and engineering side, and I told him I'm not a sales manager. And he goes, yeah, you are. You just don't know you are. And so I was supposed to think about it over the weekend, and I got a call from Steve, and basically – he told me where I was going to be working, so I guess I was getting back into technology.
Well, that turned out to be a pretty good move, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, just, and Steve just laid it out. He just, told me what he did. It's like, you can do this. You just need to come do it. So, yeah, wasn't a hard decision.
Well, appreciate you joining us, Tom.
Yeah, this is going to be fun to listen to.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Tom Ains, who's with ValueNet, but as Tom mentioned, started with Steve back when the year they bought the radio stations, back in 1986.
Same as you, Betty.
Yeah, 1986.
It's a little while ago.
That's some history right there.
Yeah, it is.
For sure.
This gentleman has...
Speaking of history.
Even more history with him. Good morning, Jim Kessler.
Are you calling me old or what?
No. Just saying you have some history. Just saying you have a lot of history with Steve-O.
We didn't say old history, Jim. Just history.
Oh, there you go. No, I certainly do have a lot of history from Steve-O. I was thinking back when I first met him. I was a college student here at Emporia State, and I worked at Fluke Sporting Goods, where the where Sweet Granada is now. That was a sporting goods store. And I won't tell this story tomorrow, but those that won't be there tomorrow, they can hear this one, but I just remember one day this guy walked in the door, loud, brash, cocky. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know who it was. Well, that was Steve, all right. little did I know at that time that I would become good friends with Steve for the rest of my life. He kind of took me under his wing, and I joined JC's shortly after I graduated from Emporia State, and we did a lot of things in JC's together, and then you know, ended up, you know, golfed up the country club together. He sponsored our Value Line softball teams. We played softball together and just did a lot of things. And he was a mentor in all respects, as far as, you know, business wise and family wise. So right after when I graduated from Emporia State, we moved to Four Seasons Apartments, and happened to be, we moved in right next to Steve and Paula. And Brady was already born at that time, but not our oldest or TJ. So Clint and TJ were born while we were at Four Seasons Apartments. So we did a lot of things together with Steve and Paula. So, and then he sold me two or three houses, and so we've been, you know, together, you know, quite some time. It's kind of funny too that I almost went to work for Steve when he started Value Line. I remember he took me upstairs. I don't know if it's up above where Burnaps is or somewhere upstairs, and showed me this machine. He called it a switch. I had no idea what a switch was. Anyway, he tried to talk me into go to work for him. I considered it. I was at Modern Air, and I considered doing that, changing. So it's kind of funny how things could have worked out. I, you know, don't know if I would have accepted that job, you know what I would have done. But it's kind of funny how things work out.
Yeah, Jim, I know even after Four Seasons, your family stayed very, very close. Talk about the kiddos all growing up together.
Yeah, that you know, a lot has been said and will continue to be said about Steve's accomplishments, you know, as a business person and at ESU and all those types of things. But, you know, probably what the thing is nearest and dearest to, you know, my heart is, you know, our families. They grew up together. When we lived on Westview Drive, they lived, you know, we just lived up the street from each other. And Brady and TJ and Jamie played with Clint and Brett. Of course, we had the two girls. They weren't involved. They didn't get to be involved in any of the sports stuff going on in the backyard. You know, multiple wiffle ball games and football games and everything. The kids grew up together and really made me believe, you know, in family. And Steve, you know, like I said, all of his accomplishments, but, you know, his family meant more to him than anything. And I think maybe that's where I get my philosophy that, you know, family comes first. And that was certainly his philosophy, too.
What about Steve's giving back to the community? Obviously, that's something that is close to you, too. As you were a public servant here for many, many, many years, Jim, but that was really at the top of Steve's list too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was, and, you know, I particularly remember, you know, his involvement in United Way. You know, Steve necessarily got into politics. I always remember him telling the story about he ran for county commissioner and didn't win or something. You know, I think he gave up on politics at that time, but I think he was more of a, in a way, even though he was outspoken, he was still one of those guys that was kind of behind the scenes at that time, as far as, you know, community involvement and giving back. And I remember a long time ago, you know, his phrase about, you know, that Earl had about, you know, giving and don't give until it hurts, give until it feels good. And I always remembered that. And I think I kind of took that on as a mantra too. You know, I always remember what Earl said about that. And that was certainly Steve's philosophy, but I think we got that, you know, giving back to the community. I think we all learned that back in the JC days. Steve and Steve Inwood, Don Hill, John Kretzinger, and I could go on and on about all the people that are still here in Emporia today and some of those that don't live here in Emporia anymore that learned how to give back to the community back in JC days. And so I think we all kind of appreciated that learning process back then.
Yeah, that was a very active JC group back then.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, yeah, and of course, you know, back then it was a young man's organization. But in, to that respect, our wives also, they had what they called the J.C. James, and so they had their group. But we would all do things together and do community activities, go to J.C. conventions. I always remember, we used to have what we called the J.C. Classic, which was the basketball tournament. Yeah. And man, we were going to make thousands of dollars. We were going to go to Miami for, you know, when we made all, that was our joke anyway. We're going to take this money and we're going to go to Miami. We're going to buy ourselves Blazers. Well, it wasn't quite as successful as that. But we did it for a few years and had a good time. I always remember Coach Slay. He was in charge of halftime entertainment. And one year his halftime entertainment was to hire some belly dancers. And so they got out there halftime. So we had some good times. And we'd get together afterwards with some of these, you know, kind of famous coaches back then in the NAIA days. And we'd go out to the club with them and have a good time. So anyway, those were good days. And that's what I remember about Steve is, and all those guys back then. We learned back then how to, you know, we need to give back to our community. So learned a lot from that guy.
Jim, I know there's countless softball stories, but
oh, yeah.
I think you're the only one we have lined up for today that played a lot of softball with him. Give us a good story or two on the old softball days. They were pretty wild, is my understanding.
Well, we had some good time. Again, that's where our kids grew up. They grew up playing in the dirt, you know, underneath the stands while we were in a softball tournament. And I can say this now that Steve's not here anymore, but he really wasn't very good.
He would admit it.
But he paid the sponsorships. He bought our tee, he bought our shirts and paid for the balls and bats. And he paid for everything, so he got to play. Greg Kossover was on our team. He's the one that got Greg Kossover on our team. Greg was a tennis player here at Emporia State and didn't have any money and didn't have a car. So, you know, he would have to ride his bike. So we'd have to take him to games. And we'd also have to – that was always our joke, too, that we'd have to buy his adult beverages for Greg. But we had some great times on the softball field. And there again, it was all about family because, you know, we all got together. It was, you know, Dwight and – myself and Joe Indris and Scotty and Mickey Carl and Richard Page and just a whole bunch of us guys. And we just had a good time with our families. And that was family time every weekend. In the old days, we'd, you know, play single elimination games and we'd get beat out the first on Saturday. So the wives always knew that, you know, they could plan on a Sunday activity because we wouldn't be playing football. So we had a good time. And Steve, talking about sports and things too, Steve also went on our infamous Minnesota fishing trip with Dwight and a whole bunch of us. And because, you know, Steve wasn't really a fisherman, but he went with us and we had a great time up in Cotton, Minnesota. So we just did so many things together with Steve and Paul and the kids and Bobby and you know, it's good memories there.
Yeah. A lot of good memories. People will hear more. Jim's, we'll be speaking at the Celebration of Life that starts at 5:30 on Friday at First United Methodist Church. Thanks for joining us, Jim. Best of luck to Sarah today, buddy.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, we just heard from her. She's waiting, and if everything goes good, she can come home. So anyway, yeah, thanks for doing this, and look forward to tomorrow evening, too.
Friday, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I guess this is only Wednesday. Okay, yep. Friday, I guess.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, thanks, guys.
We're gonna take our second break, and then we'll come back and talk with Stormy Supran. You're listening to the On Air Chat. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Find a bargain or cut a deal. Garage sale listings at garage sale prices. Find out all the details at kvoe.com/garage sale.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. Trying to do our best for a tribute show to our boss, Steve Souter. We're joined now by a longtime friend and business associate of Steve's, Stormy Supran. Good morning, Stormy.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Stormy. How you doing?
Hey, Ron. Doing good. Thank you.
How's your pickleball game?
Pretty solid.
Good.
Glad
Peggy's
to hear
doing
that.
Well.
Yeah. Everybody's doing well, and you know, play pickleball a couple times a day. You start getting pretty confident at it.
There we go.
You got game. Stormy's got game. Obviously, good to hear.
Stormy time frame for use probably very similar to Maine's and Ron, the mid-80s there, right?
Yeah, 83. I started in early 83 with Steve.
Well, back in 83, so how did that whole thing get started, Stormy?
You know, I was a computer programmer, and the company I worked for in Northwest Arkansas wrote a computer program, and I was the chief designer of it, to bill long-distance phone calls. And for people that are a little bit younger listening to this, they probably won't even know that there was a time when it cost you money to make a long-distance phone call, but that's what we did. And when Steve started ValueLine, he had to find a software program that would bill the calls that he was producing. And our salesman and Steve met at a conference and brought him into the office. And I remember the day they hauled me into a conference room and introduced me, and I shook his hand for the first time. And little did I know, right?
Yeah.
So Steve was a big fan of putting people in, surrounding himself with, he'd always like to say, people smarter than him. So I assume they purchased the software and then just went and found the guy that wrote the software?
Well, they purchased the software, and I came kind of, I went up and installed the whole thing. I also installed the hardware that went with it. So I spent a lot of time in Emporia. And I readily admit that the more time I spent up there and got to know the great staff that he had working for him back in those days, the two Cheryls and Judy and all the people, just what a great bunch of people. And I thought, if I ever have an opportunity, I'd like to be a part of something like this. And he invited me up to a Christmas party, late 82, and made me a job offer, and he and Rick did. And I moved up in early 83.
Well, obviously it was quite a ride, and you have quite a track record with Steve. Your overall thoughts on Steve, and first, what kind of a boss he was, and leading these companies. What was the ride like, Stormy?
It was an absolutely kind of a self-empowering. If you're making decisions and Steve would support those decisions if you were thinking them through. And it's the industry that Steve chose to get into was such a stretch. I mean, just everybody on this phone call has been talking about how competitive he was and competing here, competing there. Well, his business was no different. He chose to start a business that was competing against one of the biggest industries in the world, AT&T, Southwestern Bell, big incumbent companies, not only competing, but interrupting their business model. And, you know, it takes a lot of competitive nature to want to do something like that. And there was a lot of sleepless nights wondering how they're going to think to shut us down tomorrow. But we powered through, and there was always discussions in conference rooms. How are we going to overcome this? How are we going to overcome that? You know, we didn't near have the resources that some company like that did to fight some of the things we had to fight. But, you know, Steve always found a way, always found the right person to call at the right time that gave us the right idea, whether we had to go see Bob Agler or up and see a guy named Link Brown up at Southwestern Bell. I mean, he always came up with the right resource at the right time. And that's what really empowered us.
Yeah, a lot of history back in the ValueLine days. And then Stormy, ValueLine sells to Birch, or Birch acquires it essentially. And then you guys are kind of out of the business there for a little while. Talk a little bit about you and Rick getting together and thinking of fiber optics and the start of ValueNet.
Yeah. So I got, once I was with Birch, I moved to Kansas City, the Kansas City area, and of course stayed in contact with Steve and with Rick, probably more Steve than Rick, but in contact with both of them over time. And Rick really is the one that really hatched the idea. If we could ever figure out how to actually bring
fiber-based service to Emporia to really move things forward, build their own network. And I got out of the telecommunications business because I didn't want to continue to try to resell somebody else's product. And their whole intention was to shut the business model down. It just didn't seem like a something I wanted to continue to beat my head against. But Rick and Steve dreamed up a way, got a hold of me and said, hey, technically, can we do this? And there was a company out of Nebraska that were good friends of all of ours that was doing this. And we kind of took their business model and sat down and refined it for Emporia and decided, you know what? This is doable. We can do this. We can make this happen for the Emporia community. And we're in charge of our own destiny. Everybody's got fiber. We can call our own shots. We can do it like we want to do it, provide the service we want to provide. And that's what we did. And it turned out to be a game changer. It was great for me, my family, the folks who worked at ValueNet and the community. So probably the proudest thing I ever did was build that fiber network.
Yeah, I mean, that fiber network is huge. I mean, what a recruiting tool for the community, you know, to have this high-speed fiber that is here. And I guess one of the first things you had to do other than, you know, create the business model and I realize that you can pull this off was to then recruit investors. How difficult was that?
You know, many conversations Steve, Rick, and I had about how we're going to do this, how we're going to pull this off. And Bob Agler would bring the numbers and say, here's what it takes, boys. And we'd sit down and we'd talk about this. And we thought we'd have to go to Emporia and then head to Wichita and then head to Kansas City and probably to Dallas to find, you know, that type of investment money and such. We reached out to the Emporia community and 45 days later, we had all the investment money we needed. I think we ended up with only two investors from outside the Emporia community. One was a friend of mine from Lake of the Ozarks, and there was one in Kansas City. But all the money came right there from Emporia, and it's cool that all the business people in Emporia had the vision of saying that's what we need, that's what this community needs, and I'm willing to invest to make this happen. And so it was a dream come true. It was an absolute something we thought was going to be our biggest challenge, turned out to be the easiest thing we did in the whole business model.
Yeah, and one of the things I think he was most proud of, especially when Sparklight came in and purchased, and all those investors got their investments back.
Yeah,
I remember
very
those,
happy investors.
Yes, I remember those days fondly. It was. We're gonna try to get 10 investors in Emporia, and then we'll probably go down to Wichita. There's some people down there. Stormy knows some people down in Northwest Arkansas, and then we'll probably move to the Kansas City model. And two community-wide meetings later, it was, I think we got everybody. It was a pretty big shock.
Number we needed. Yeah, it was absolute. Unbelievable support from the community and what it did. The great thing is at the end of it all, when Sparklight purchased the company, it returned all that wealth back to that community. So
right.
All that investment money plus all the profits returned right back to the Emporia community. So what a great little windfall. I mean, great fiber network and there was profits made off of it. So yeah, it was a fantastic business model.
Well, thanks for joining us, Stormy. We'll see you this weekend, buddy.
You. Thanks, Stormy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll be up this weekend. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Good to talk to you. Yeah.
See you. Bye.
Stormy Supran, long time colleague and friend of Steve's.
Yep, and another long time friend of Steve's and the sport he loved most, Coach Bob Vernelli. Good morning, Coach Bob.
Morning, Coach.
Hi, gang. How are you guys doing?
We're
hanging
good.
In there.
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers and to the family. You know, what a great man and helped me with my career and helped me as a player. I mean, I can't tell you as many times to say thank you to Steve. So, you know, I know I was there this fall and went to the alumni deal and got to see him. So I'm glad I got to see him when I did.
Yeah, you'll enjoy this. One of Jeff Brown had sent Jamie and I a text on Saturday night and said, that poker game up in heaven just got a lot tougher.
him and Donna, yep, no doubt, no doubt.
Well, let's go back, Coach, if we can, and talk about how you first met Steve.
Yeah, when I came to Emporia State to play baseball, I lived in the apartments over there, and I didn't have a whole lot, and he gave me an opportunity to vacuum the stairs to help pay some of my rent. And so I did that all the time, and I was so appreciative of that through my playing career. And then, you know, the opportunity to come back there as a coach, you know, he was one of the first guys that I talked to with Kent Weiser, and he gave me that opportunity to be a Hornet again. And, you know, then was with him all the time there. And any time we needed something, we tried not to go to him every time because we needed a lot sometimes. But he always was willing to help. And if he, you know, he always helped me find somebody that could help. So, you know, just a great man, not only that he helped our program, just a good person. He always was really good to me and my family, and appreciated everything. And, you know, Jamie was on my coaching staff for a year or two, and his kids I coached in American Legion ball. So I've been around him a lot. Shoot, I even announced a baseball game with him when I got done with my career. We both got in trouble. I think he got in trouble more than I did, but it was a pretty funny incident.
Yeah, I know baseball was really important to him, and you guys were really good friends. But talk a little bit how he interacted with all of your players. He loved the coaches, but I wholeheartedly think he got close to the coaches just so he could get even closer to the players.
Yeah, I think that was really in every sport. He loved baseball, and he was around us all the time that he could be. But, I mean, with Coach Higgins and Coach Moe and Vanderveer, he loved Emporia State. And, you know, I think you can tell that not only by the players and their actions, but just the activity with his father and the things that he did to give back. And then we always had that deal. And, you know, it was tough for me to see him get emotional in those deals about his dad and the players and we all understood it, what it meant to be a Hornet when he got up there and talked about the importance of what his dad did for the university and how they went about their business. But, you know, Steve added to that so much and always will. And, you know, there's buildings on campus that have the Souter name on it that'll be there forever. And so he's definitely left a lasting legacy there at Emporia State.
So obviously he meant a lot to the baseball program. Was he, did he help out getting you, you know, the head coaching job here? You came from Fort Hays State, right, Coach?
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. He was the first call. He called me and then I didn't know Kent at the time. So, but he kind of got me hooked up with Kent, and then Kent secretly, we met at, God, I don't know what it was, some restaurant in Salina. A breakfast place. My wife and I snuck over there without anybody knowing, and probably shouldn't tell Tom Spicer that. But, you know, that was part of it.
It's all legal now.
Then, yeah, it's legal. We're old now. So, but yeah, that's what got it started, you know, and he was a big influence to me coming back there and the promises that we could have a good baseball team there again. And we did, and we did some great things. And again, Steve was a big part of it with all the administration and everybody helping out. So can't say enough about that. And, you know, probably the biggest thing is, and Brownie's right about the poker on Tuesday night. That's probably the thing I miss the most. You know, I was fired up every Tuesday to go play with those guys, you know, between Steve and Don Eck and Bradbury, Harder and Jamie. I mean, we had a ball doing those things, and it was only for two or three or maybe 4 hours a night. And, you know, those are some great memories, and we always enjoyed that.
Yeah, the stories were priceless. It was the old guard and the young guard, and you could learn a lot just sitting back and listening to them. You might have to pay you might have to pay a little bit to learn some stories, but that's okay.
Oh, we paid some annies. There's no doubt about that. No doubt.
So everything good in Pitt, Bob?
Yeah, everything's going good. So except for this 4 inches of snow we got yesterday. So I'm going to sneak over there on Saturday to the funeral, but we got canceled this weekend, so it's going to allow me to. So you never know what good things come. You know, I don't like not playing, but I do like to honor Steve and try to be there on Saturday.
Speaking of Pitt, let me ask you this, Coach. How Was it obviously a difficult decision for you to leave Emporia State with your history here? And was it difficult approaching Steve and telling him about that when this happened?
Oh, yeah, I had a tear in my eye. You know, it was a tough deal. And, you know, whether it's the right or wrong thing to do, this is what we thought was best for our family. And, you know, it's just something that we did. And I think he understood in the long run. I think Ken understood in the long run. And, you know, it was a bummer. And it's still a bummer, you know, when I went back and saw him that, you know, I'm wearing red and gold instead of black and gold, but that's part of it. And we all go about it. I still have black and gold in me. So, yeah. You know, it's just part of life, I guess.
Hey, real quick, Bob, tell the listeners what the girls are doing now.
Yeah, so I'm so proud of my kids. Emma works for the government in internet space, I guess, in Austin, Texas. And Riley's a special ed teacher at Blue Valley Southwest. And Addie's a senior here at Pitt State finally, so her 4 years are going to be over. And Dad's going to be off the book in college stuff, so that'll be kind of nice. But really proud of them. My wife's doing a great job. She could retire anytime, but she likes teaching so much. She's going to stay in there. So, you know, we're doing good, and our family is doing really well.
Well, I hear about all these trips that your wife gets to take with her sister, and your name is very rarely included.
Yeah, I'm not much of a traveler, Aaron, unless you take me to Vegas. I'll go to Vegas whenever they want me to go, but I'm not going overseas. I don't have a passport. I'm staying home.
Or anywhere there's a baseball game.
I like home. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Bob, really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, guys. Have a great day. See
you.
You
bye-bye. Too. Bob Fornelli. Yeah, a long time Emporia State. Of course, played here.
Yeah, played.
Coached here.
Played here, got into coaching, was at Fort Hayes, and was a quote-unquote steal back in the day, and was a very successful baseball coach at ESU, and a lot of his players Steve has very fond memories with. He brought in a lot of good players.
Yeah, Steve, that's some of the first sports broadcasting Steve did here.
When, baseball?
Was baseball. You know, he and Steve Inwood would follow Emporia State postseason-wise, before Bob even, and they've got some great stories, he and Steve Inwood, you know, through the years that did a lot of baseball broadcasts. And then, of course, we talked about Steve and doing ESU softball and, of course, a couple of national championship games in softball.
Yes, he did. Bobby has put together a really nice tribute for him that'll play at the celebration of Night of Life on Friday. That's the 2010 national championship. Probably one of his proudest and happiest moments.
Yeah.
Just traveling up the road to St. Joe and watching the Lady Hornets win the national title. I think everyone you talk to has multiple great memories with Steve, and that's great because those are the things that really live on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back, you know, when he and Earl first bought the radio stations, I was in the news department doing news with Jeff O'Dell back in the day, and Steve Ewell was midday and doing program director work. And when Lee Firestone was hired as GM, I then switched from news to on air and handled the programming duties. So we had the switch in place at that part, and that's when Steve first brought up, you know, we should do some wrestling play-by-play. I said, what?
Wrestling?
What are you talking about?
No one does
that. How do you do that? And, well, lo and behold, look what that's turned into. You know, everybody's doing wrestling stuff now.
Yep.
I mean, wrestling play, radio stations, they're all over the place doing wrestling play-by-play. And, of course, it led to us doing more local things and, you know, even letter-to-letter coverage of the Spelling Bee, you know, before it was all said and done. So that's what lit the fuse for KVOE.
Yeah, a great giver.
Yep, no doubt about it.
All right, well, let's wrap it up, Ron. Thanks for listening to the on-air chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Once again, thanks for listening on KVUE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia, AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.